Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, everybody. 10:30, are you alive? Quickly, how was your week? Give it a thumbs up, give it a thumbs sideways, or a thumbs down, and go. Wait, keep your thumbs. Just want to see how I should preach today. Cole, can I also be vulnerable? I have a fear of birds. Does anybody else have a fear of birds? Flip, I don't like those things. So, you know that scripture that talks about your greatest fear that comes upon you? Well, in our kitchen, our little dog Amigo, he's got his food bowl and his water bowl, and it's close to the back door that backs out onto the garden. And slowly over the last few months, we've suddenly had turtle doves that have just become tame. They just walk into the kitchen like a Brack Band gangster, just like this. They skrik for nooks. They don't care if we're there. They don't care if we chase them away. They couldn't care two hoots. They chow the food, they drink, and then when they're good and done, they walk out. Well, the other day, I walked in on these birds, and then they got a little bit of a skrik. So the one hops up, he's flying in the air like this. Next, so I take cover, and he dive bombs me. Touches my head with his feet. And my kids are like, it's a bird, just relax. I'm like, that thing can peck your eyes out. Hey? Did anybody watch Alfred Hitchcock's movie years ago called The Birds? If you've watched that, you'll understand the phobia. Anyway. So, good morning. Come, would you stand with me? I want to ask us to do something this morning as we get ready to receive the word. And that is to take our hearts and wrap our arms around our hearts. And ask God to wrap his arms around our hearts this morning. I want to ask us to take our minds captive, to bring a level of focus. Because we're going to talk about a word today that has the power to completely alter the way we see God, think about God, and as a result, change the way we go through life, actually. This word, I think, is the most important word in all of Scripture, and it's a big claim, and I'll back it up a little bit later. I think it's the most important word in all of Scripture. And I'm asking, can you, right now, where you are, get ready to receive God's word, but this word, which is part of God's word. Because if you're not ready to receive it, I fear it may pass you by. I fear it may land in shallow soil. I fear it may land in hard soil. And this morning, we've tilled the soil of our hearts, haven't we, as we've worshipped. But let's take this moment now, lift our eyes to heaven, our hearts to heaven, our hands to heaven, and just get ready for his word. Put the phone on airplane mode. Disregard every distraction and just say, God, I'm yours in this moment. Here I am. Speak your word. Have your will. Have your way. Let your kingdom come. Lord, let this word, as we unleash this word today that's found in your word, may it find fertile soil. May it find soft soil. May it find tilled soil. May it find soil in our hearts that are ready for it. Lord, I pray that it would be like a kairos moment, like when the moment's right, that today the moment would be right for us to hear this word, that we'd take it, we'd absorb it, we'd assimilate it. Lord, let it be part of our bloodstream, our spiritual bloodstream from this point on, like we receive food and it finds its way into our bloodstream. May we receive spiritual food today that will change the DNA of our spiritual lives forever in Jesus' name. And everybody in 10:30 said, amen, amen, amen. Thanks, everybody. Please do have a seat. And as you do so, quick hands up if you've either read the book or watched the movie, the series, The Chronicles of Narnia. Hands up if you do it. Okay. Some of you had to do it for English set work. Some of you, your parents made you do it. I don't know. But if you know the Chronicles of Narnia, then you know, I know, that the wardrobe in the professor's house is particularly important because the wardrobe is like a magical portal, like a make-believe gateway to Narnia. Are you with me? Some of you are like, they didn't teach that in Brakpan. Yeah, but they've changed the curriculum. It's making a comeback now. Here's a quick 2-minute clip to just show you a little bit about the wardrobe. This is from the first in the series, The Chronicles of Narnia. So thanks, team. I'll see you on the other side of that. So that's the wardrobe, right? It's this gateway from one world into another. Church, did you know that there are words that are like that gateway? Some words do that. Some words, when they're properly understood, they open up a whole new world for us. It's like a word can open up a whole cavern, like a cave of understanding and knowing. There are some words, church, that are so rich in meaning. They've got so many layers to them that they actually open the door from one kind of life to another kind of life. Today, I want to introduce you to a word like that. It's a word, one word, but it's so much more than a word. It's the word beyond a word, if you like. It's so rich. It's so deep in meaning. It has so many layers to it that it's actually undefinable in English. I said earlier, I believe it's the most important word in Scripture, and I'll tell you later why I feel that. And this word has got just 3 Hebrew letters to it. And yet, English can't describe it properly. The word is a Hebrew word. So get your Hebrew on today. The word is chesed. Chesed. The fancy version is hesed. But the Hebrew pronunciation is chesed, like you clearing your throat. So we'll say chesed, H-E-S-E-D. Now let me tell you about this word. It is reproduced, mentioned 250 times in Hebrew scripture. It's translated into English a staggering 169 different ways. The reason for that is we can't quite find an English word that does it justice. In fact, there was a man called Miles Coverdale. In 1535, this guy founded, invented the English word that we now know as loving kindness in an attempt somehow to translate this Hebrew word chesed into English. And the best he could do is this word loving kindness. But church, it means so much more than that. It is kindness. It is steadfast love. It is mercy. It is faithfulness. It is compassion. It's covenant love. It's loyalty. It's faithful love. It's selflessness, steadfastness, covenantal in character. It's a love that never gives up, never lets go, never stops giving. That visual that you see on the screen is like all of those words, right? All of these words, like they're all put into one: grace, mercy, covenant love, kindness, faithfulness, loyalty. All of these words, right? It's all of those words, each on their own. And it's all of those words layered one on top of each other. It's all of those words put together and combined and more than that. Are you with me? Chesed. Chesed. I think it is, well, let me give you this quote first. A man called Daryl Block said this. I love the word wrapping up here. He said, chesed is wrapping up in itself all the positive attributes of God. Love, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty. In short, acts of devotion and loving kindness that go beyond the requirements of duty. Now, I said earlier, I think this is the most important word in Scripture. And you might say to me, that's a big claim. How can you say that? Why do you say that? I make that claim and I think it's the most important word in Scripture. And that's why I discovered this word about a year ago and I've been waiting for the right time. And I felt like today and next week in Edenville, this is like a kairos, the moment in time for our church. That's why I want to unleash this word to you today. I think it's the most important word in Scripture because it is the way God describes himself. Are you with me? How many of you know that if God uses a word to describe himself, we should pay attention? But if he uses it twice to three times in a text, we should sit bolt upright and go, this is a word worth living with in my life from this moment onwards. Check it out, Exodus 34, verse 5-7. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him. This is when Moses meets God on Mount Sinai. And he called out his own name, Yahweh. And the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out. Here, church, here's how he describes himself now. He goes, Yahweh. It's like God is making an introduction of himself. Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. Already he starts to introduce chesed language. Watch now. I am slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. That word, unfailing love. We can't put it in English. So that phrase, unfailing love and faithfulness, in Hebrew is chesed. I'm filled with chesed. I lavish unfailing love, chesed, to 1,000 generations, and I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. The reason why I think this is the most important word in all of Scripture is because it is the defining characteristic of God. And in English and in John's gospel, it tells us God is love. Are you with me? And that is true. It's just that in the Hebrew Scripture, God describes himself with so much more richly, and he says, God is chesed. I am chesed, he says. I am love, faithfulness, mercy, kindness, compassion, long-suffering. I am covenant love. I am committed. I am completely devoted. Are you with me? Do you know the Hasidic Jews? Have you ever heard of the Hasidic Jews, the ones with the little curly things and they wear the hats and the robes and all of those? If you ever want to see Hasidic Jews, drive through Glen Hazel Subject just next to Rosebank on a Saturday and you will see the Hasidic Jews. They say that they are Hasidic Jews because they trust God's chesed. That's why they are Hasidic Jews. And Scripture reveals God's chesed to us over and over and over and over again in Scripture. Psalm 136, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. But it's that His faithful love, chesed, endures forever. Micah 6 verse 8, know people, the Lord has told you what's good. This is what He requires of you, to do what's right, to love mercy, chesed. You see how mercy is an English word, doesn't incorporate all of what God is there. To love, it's to love mercy and it's to walk humbly with your God. Lamentations 3, 22, Pastor Kathy's favorite verse. I put it in for you, Pastor Kathy. The faithful love, chesed, of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Isaiah 54, verse 10. The mountains may move, the hills may disappear, but even then my faithful love, chesed, for you will remain. Are you with me? Chesed. It is the covenantal love, the grace, the kindness, the patience, the mercy, the commitment, the steadfastness, the absolute, unshakable determination that God has to love us. It's His unfailing character. It's who He is. He is unbelievable. It's impossible for God to be unfaithful. Are you with me? Now, I was trying so hard, and you'll have to put up with my best effort today. I was trying so hard to take a word and bring it to life for us. I was trying so hard to describe what happens to us when this word moves from head to heart, when this word moves from information to revelation. You see, it's one thing to learn about today. I'm so mindful and I've been so prayerful about this week. If I teach this word, it will do nothing for us. But if somehow the Holy Spirit can take it and put it into your hearts like He's put it into my heart, then we change the architecture of our lives. I'm trying in some way, and I'm going to show you now how I feel it could work, to take a word and put it into our soul. You see, because when a word moves from information to revelation, from head to heart, all of a sudden it starts to breathe, it starts to touch your soul, starts to move your soul, starts to change the way you see life, see God, see the world, see the way you pray. You see, when you and I somehow this word grabs a hold of us. There's two things that can happen today. You can grab a hold of this word, or this word can grab a hold of you. When it grabs hold of you, it actually shifts the sand of our souls. Are you with me? And so I thought to myself, how can I try and illustrate this? And the best thing I could come up with was music. Every single one of us in some form or fashion hear music, and most of us probably love music. Well, we're about to find out. Socrates said this. He said that when the soul hears music, listen to this, I love this. When the soul hears music, it lets down its best guard. Isn't that true? So, you want to hear my playlist at the moment? I'm going to give you 1 minute of magic right now. Six songs, 60 seconds. Are you ready? Here's my playlist. Pumper G. You can dance if you want. It's fine. Move in your chair.
In the heart of America. like us. They not 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 like us.
Everybody loves Whitney Houston. What a playlist. I really tried to find something to make everybody's soul come alive. Did you find something? Kendrick is in my playlist because I've got to understand Kendrick. Because young people are understanding Kendrick and he seems to understand them. And so I'm busy finding the clean version of Kendrick's. That's going to be a sermon for another day. It's going to be called The Clean Version of Kendrick Lamar. Okay. The reason I did that for us is because, you know, I think music touches our souls, and it touches our souls, and we don't quite know why and how it touches our souls. I mean, as soon as Nkalagata comes on, like, yeah, these people start moving, you know? And Captain Oaks are like, yay! And we don't know why it touches our souls, but it does. And a word like chesed that God uses to describe, it can touch our souls, and we don't quite explain its effect on us, but it can bring our souls alive. It can set our souls alight. It can settle us. It can change us. It can shape us. Listen, when you and I live with this word alive in us, it touches us deeply. And I think there's two big invitations today for this word that I want to offer us today. I think chesed gives us two big invitations. The first is to live in it. To live under it. Every single man and woman who has made a decision to follow Jesus, everybody who's given their life to Jesus, everybody who's Christ is Lord of their lives, you and I now live under an umbrella of chesed. Did you know that? In other words, the faithfulness, the grace, the mercy, the kindness, the goodness, the steadfastness, the loving kindness, the covenantal determination of God. The eye is on your life, His life. Every single moment of every single day, God sees you, loves you, is for you, not against you, has His hand over you, upon you. Are you with me? We live in that. When you and I discover chesed, the chesed of God, that He is eternally and completely and utterly faithful to His people, we live differently. You can have come from the most dire poverty and the most terrible poverty in your life, but when you get a revelation that the goodness of God is upon your life, available for your life, all of a sudden, that poverty mindset can evaporate. I want to say this to you in the shadow of one word called chesed. You can be a young lady or an old lady here today who has been abused, sexually, physically abused in your past. And I want to say to you that when you get a revelation of chesed, it doesn't change what happened to you, but it changes your present reality. That the consequences of your abuse, the fingerprints of that on your soul can evaporate miraculously in a moment when the chesed love of God becomes a reality for you. You can have grown up without a father figure in your life. You can have lived with a hole in your soul for your entire life. But when you understand the chesed love of the Father, when that grabs you, when that gets a hold of you, when that word grips your heart, that can change in a moment. So to live in it is to live under the umbrella. It is to understand that His banner over us is love. It is to understand that the faithfulness of God is a present reality that as sure as I'm standing on this platform right now, it's concrete underneath me, as sure as I know this thing will hold my weight, the love of God will hold your life. Are you with me? The second invitation is to live it out. To live it out, which is equally as important. What this means is if that you and I, if we have received the chesed love of God, if we live under the umbrella of God's chesed, if you and I are recipients of it, if we live with it in our lives and we live under it in our lives, then we also live it out and we offer it to the world around us. We offer it to the people around us. So simply put, if God has forgiven you and me as He has, then we have received chesed and we give chesed. We give forgiveness. We offer forgiveness. No matter whether the person's apologized, no matter whether we've seen them ever again, are you with me? Like, we live it out. If we have received kindness from God, we offer kindness to the world around us. If God, in His mercy, found me such a complete muhu, and if He could save me, if He could offer me a glass of spiritual water, then I'm going to offer somebody else a glass of water every time I see them, in the small acts of kindness and in the big acts of kindness. Are you with me? If God found me, if the Good Samaritan came to me, then I'm going to be a Good Samaritan to somebody else. Are you with me? I think it's a grave thing to have received chesed and to not live chesed. But when we've received it and we've recognized it and we go, God, Your banner over me is love. As surely as this holds the weight of my body, You, the weight of Your love holds my life. As surely as You have forgiven me, as surely as You've been good, as surely as You've been generous to me, as surely as You've been kind to me, as surely as You've lavished Your love on me, I will lavish love on the world around me. And here's the great thing. Here's the thing. God did it with nothing in return. In fact, the great story of Scripture is that God offered His love. He repeatedly makes advances to the human race. He creates Adam and Eve. The very first thing they do is turn their back on Him. That story continues for humankind. But now in a new covenant scenario, in a new covenant setting, the Spirit of God lives in our lives. And finally, we can live up to, begin to, imperfectly, but still begin to live up to the chesed of God. We can offer the chesed of love because we've got the Spirit of God in our lives, in our hearts. You think you've got no resource. Say, God, give me chesed. And I'm talking not financial resource. I'm talking about emotional resource. God, I don't have it in me to offer that. Today, chesed, you've received it. Offer it to Him and say, God, I want to offer it to the world around me. We live in it, church. And we live it out. There's a beautiful story that I read about this Jewish organization. It started in the 1950s in New York City. I won't even try and pronounce it for you because it's just hard. But what they did is they, it was a group of Holocaust survivors. Now, bear in mind, the Second World War ended in 1945, went from 1939 to 1945. In the early 1950s, so we're talking about 6-7 years after the end of the Second World War, Holocaust survivors who found themselves now in New York City, they get together and they go, we made it out of that place. The chesed of God. Are you with me? So you know what they did? They decided to just, this is what I'm saying, it's a glass of water. It's a simple act of kindness. It's the offering of forgiveness. Are you with, it's they go and they decide, let's make home-cooked meals. And let's make them and deliver them to people who've had their lives devastated. It could be a fire that burnt their building out. It could be a victim of abuse. It could be a person in court in dire poverty. Anybody whose life is devastated, they go, we have received the chesed love of God, so we live in it, and now we live it out. And I think that's the invitation for us. We are not Dead Sea people. We don't receive the love of God, let it dam up and live with it. We are Red Sea people. It flows. Are you with me? To live in it and to live it out. I think the big word to think about with this is reciprocity. Showing to others what's been given to us by God. And guess what happens? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a virtuous circle, not a vicious cycle, the opposite, a virtuous circle. The more we live it out, the more we receive it from God. The more we realize how much we've received from God. Are you with me? The more we make a decision to live out the chesed that's been given to us, the more of God's chesed we see in our lives. The more we realize of it. Understanding this word chesed, and I'm hoping, I'm praying, feel like I ambushed you today with this word. Because I've been praying for every single person that was going to be in church today. I've been praying that your heart will, like mine, the moment I heard this word, it arrested my heart. It captivated my soul. It has permanently changed my spiritual DNA. I pray that it does that for you. That you live in it, under it, the utter and complete and total and unconditional, faithful love of God holds your life and my life. He's got you. God's got this. God's got you. He's got your future. And not only do we live in it, but we live it out. And as we do so, we become like Jesus. Because he is the ultimate chesed. Like if ever you wanted a demonstration of God's chesed, it's embodied in the life of Christ. Come, let's pray, shall we? As you close your eyes, I want to just read you these beautiful words from Corey Ashbury's song called Reckless Love. I think some of us know it. The chorus goes, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That is chesed. And with every head bowed and eye closed, Jesus was the fullest, most complete expression of the chesed of God. When God wanted to leave, here's the thing, church, oh, please, I hope you receive this so deep into your soul. When God wanted to convince you of his chesed, he sent Jesus. That's why he came. So that every man and every woman who looks at the life of Christ and says, hey, I want to follow him, make him Lord, and I want to trust him for the salvation of my soul. Every man and woman who makes that decision immediately accesses the chesed of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, the goodness of God. And so right where you are in this moment, I would like to invite you, if you've never done that, or maybe years ago you did, but today is a new day, because you need a new day, to say yes to Jesus, making him Lord and making him Savior. You see, he's our Savior in a moment. And the moment a man and woman makes a sincere, earnest, heartfelt, not emotional, sincere decision to follow Jesus, the moment we place our faith and our hope in Jesus, our sin is forgiven as we confess it and ask for forgiveness. In a moment, just like that, done. But making him Lord, that's a lifelong process. And at Thrive, we want to help people move towards Jesus, learn to be with him, become like him, and do what he did. That's a process of making him Lord that takes our whole lives. But today you can start that process by saying, Jesus, I want to make you Savior. I accept you. I thank you for living for me and dying for me. I thank you for your life. Thank you for your teachings. In a moment, I want to confess my sin, say, I'm so deeply sorry, God, for having walked away from you. But here I am. I give you my life. And at the same time, you're saying, Jesus, now, this is not a once-off thing. I'm making you Lord for the rest of my life. And I'm going to learn to make you Lord. I'm going to learn to do what you did. I'm going to learn to be with you. I'm going to learn to become like you. If that's you, in just a moment, I would love the moment, the opportunity to pray for you. And I'm going to ask you to respond in just a moment. I'll do a quick count to three. As I do so, when I get to three, slip up your hand if that's you. Say, that's me, Pastor B. I'll see you. I'll say thank you. I'll ask you to put your hand down. I'm not going to ask you to get up, or I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to see you, say thank you, but I need you to place your hand up nice and high, nice and quick, so I can see you. Ready? Here we are. This is the moment to respond on the count of three. One, two, three. Hands up all across this place. Thank you, 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 balcony. I see you as well. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. That's awesome. Anybody else? You want to? I'll wait just a second for you. So many responding already. Thank you. Come, let's pray together. Church, would you pray with me? Let's repeat together. Say, Father God, thank you for your chesed, your love, your faithfulness, your goodness. Jesus, thank you for your love, your life, for living for me, dying for me. I believe in you. I believe in your life and your death and your resurrection. Right now, Father, forgive me for my sin. Cleanse me as I repent. Holy Spirit, come and fill me in Jesus' name. And everybody in Tent City who agreed with that said, amen. Now the scripture tells us, just before we do anything else, the scripture tells us, this is why we do what we do in our church, that when one person comes to faith, the whole of heaven comes to a standstill. Just cheering for that. So can we represent heaven this morning? Come, let's give it up.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.